following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I want to thank Brother Tracy for inviting me. And it's always a privilege, I don't care where it is, to serve and to share the Word of God. A point of interest is that I was here in 2003 for 10 weeks. And as an interim, in fact, I was the interim's interim. I have something that very few people can boast about, and I happened to be the interim's interim on two occasions for Brother Tim LaFleur. When Brother Tim was here, he was the BCM director, and in the summer times he would go to Glorieta, and he was here one summer, and he asked me to take his place, probably about 3 or 4 months, I guess. And I think the only guy that might have been here back here was Jim Bonner. I remember Brother Jim from years ago, and I'm not going to date you, Brother Jim, but you were here. And in the previous year at First Baptist Thibodaux, when Tim was the interim, I was again the interim. But it's always a pleasure to serve the Lord, to serve the Word of God. And I want to share this morning, if you notice, the songs were about the heart and God. I was called earlier during the week on text and asked what my message would be. And the title of my message is My Heart and God. And so I want to share that with you. If I move around a little bit, I'll probably pick up the hand mic. You know, everybody has a gadget that fits on your ear to get your voice through, the amplifier. And I wear hearing aids and I wear glasses, and I don't have too much more room on my ear to put anything else. So you have to pardon me here. But I want to share, you know, the Bible says in John 1 that in the beginning the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Jesus would become flesh and he would dwell amongst us, and we would behold that glory, the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. And so now my relationship to God and your relationship to God as a born-again believer has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ and no other way. And so God would speak his word from the very beginning, and Jesus would fulfill that word. When he would come, he would fulfill it. And the scripture says in John 1:29 that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you're here this morning and you have a relationship with God, you can only have that relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that one point in time in your life, you made a commitment. And I like to say this, I know when I made my commitment to Christ. I know the date, I know the time, it just so happened I wrote it down when I did it. But you may not know the date. You might not know it was on June the 10th or June the 17th or in May. But you have to know at one point in time in your life that you received Jesus Christ and there was change in your life. You knew that there was something different. Now your heart was changed. Your heart said, I don't want to have anything to do with the things that I used to be. I want to have something to do with God, because the Holy Spirit inhabited your heart. And when he came into your heart, you see God now differently than you saw him yesterday. And so you are changed when you're born again, and I want to make sure you know that. And all your actions right now, all your desires should be to please God or to do the Word of God. Now, I understand when we receive Christ, we will be born again spiritually, but we didn't lose the flesh. Now, I got a problem with my flesh sometimes. And I'm sure if you want to admit it, you do too, that we still desire the things of the flesh, but the Holy Spirit living in us overpowers the desire of the flesh when we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we submit ourselves to God, and we submit ourselves to the Word of God. That's the new heart in the believer. So where your treasure is now, it ought to be in your heart. And if I can encourage you, and I think this message is leaning that way, to get into the Word of God on a regular basis and let the Word of God minister to you. Let it feed your soul. And the areas of your life where you're having trouble, you have to find a verse of Scripture or some type of place in the Scripture where it addresses that area, whatever it is. And so God's Word will do that. We can't remove ourselves, or we can't stray away from what the scripture calls the life of Christ. So, I'm going to be out of Psalm 119 this morning. Interesting thing about Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. There's 1,189 chapters in the Bible, the way it's divided up. And Psalm 119 is the longest. It has 176 verses in it. And it's divided into 22 stanzas. And interestingly enough, in the Hebrew, there are 22 letters in the alphabet. And each letter has an indication on one of the divisions in this psalm. But the word appears in every verse. Some reference to the word of God appears in every verse in Psalm 119, except in four verses. And this is how it appears. Testimonies, your law, his ways, your precepts, your statutes, your commandments, your decrees, your judgments. And all of these make a reference to the word of God. And so in the passage we look at today, we're going to say, I will meditate on those words. I will meditate on those scripture. I will delight myself in them, and I won't forget them. So we need to understand that God's word is important in your life. It's important in my life. And let me just give you a personal note here. If you're down and maybe you're not encouraged, get into the Bible. Read the word of God. Read the Psalms where they praise God and they elevate God. And they give God all the glory and all the honor. So you're going to find out that in just a short period of time, when you're in the word of God and you're reading about the word of God, God will begin to deal with your heart. And God will show you where you have a difference here or you have a difference there. And you can say, Lord, I need to make that correction. I need to make that adjustment in my life. And that's why it's so important to be in it daily, to be in the Word of God daily. The scripture says in this passage that I will meditate, I will delight in it, I will not forget it. So God's Word's important here as you read it and as you study it. And so it's the foundation for your fellowship with God. You know, your fellowship with God is in the Word. First, the Word was made flesh. Jesus came to materialize the Word in our life. It was made flesh, and the Scripture says, He dwells in me. And if He dwells in me, I have all the authority that Jesus Christ had through the Word of God. So we should have no problem in our life. But we do have problems, don't we? I mean, we resist. And so all the things that you don't want to do, you find sometimes the devil will be throwing them right in your midst to tempt you and to try to venture you away from the Word of God. So what's so important here? Memorize verses, and you can quote those verses. You can quote those verses back to God. So you'll always. So let me say what Jesus said about our relationship to God. He said this in Matthew 7. He says that it's like a narrow gate and a wide gate. And you go through the narrow gate, which is your salvation, and it's eternal life. And so when you have Christ, you can walk the narrow way. And I know that's hard because it's hard for me. And it's hard for everyone. And he says, you don't have to walk the world's way. The way of the world, listen, I tell you what, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I guess we could say that's probably the case. But it's no different. I mean, you can go all the way back to Genesis, right there when Cain and Abel offered their offering to God. And Cain brought what he wanted, and Abel brought what God wanted. And God rejected Cain. But let me show you how graceful God is. God came back to Cain, and he said, hey, Cain, I'm going to give you another shot. I'm going to give you another chance. If you'd have come the right way, I would have received you. So God has a way, and of course, that way is Jesus Christ. So living for God is never by chance. It's always by choice. I heard a preacher say this. In fact, it was Robin Morris. I don't know if you ever watch him, but he says, you determine your walk with God, meaning you can have all of God you want as a believer. So how much of God do you want in your life today? How much do you really want God to be involved? Well, God, I'm coming to church this morning, so we're going to have a hallelujah time. Sometimes coming to church is not hallelujah. Sometimes it's repentance. But repentance is hallelujah, because it gets you right with God. And in your heart as a believer, you want to be right with God. So let me just ask you a couple of questions before we read the verses. Do you have a relationship with God by being born again? Number one. Number two, can my walk with God stand some improvement? You're a Christian this morning. Answer this question to yourself in your heart. Can my walk with God stand some improvement? And thirdly, am I willing to make the effort and the sacrifice? You don't just stroll along mightily with God by Sunday morning church. This ought to feed you. You know what the scripture says? Why we come together on Sunday mornings? To encourage and to exhort one another. That as we gather here, you're a believer, I'm a believer. We share and we can talk about Jesus and we can lift him up in our hearts. But when we walk out the doors, it's not over with. It's just beginning, because your test comes outside this building. Your test is not here. God deals with you here. And when you walk out, you put or you implement what God has told you through his word. So we quick to give God our wants and don't ever think about what we can give God. You know, we have a service we can give to God. So very quickly, I'm going to give you my 3 points, and we'll take point number one. In verses 9 to 12, our cleansing. In verses 13 to 14 of Psalm 119, our sharing, our commitment to God. Then finally, verses 15 and 16, our thinking. So I'm going to read verses 9 through 16 out of Psalm 119. I think it'll probably be on the overhead. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Now, notice, that's the word. With my lips I have declared all the judgments, that's the word again, of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, that's the word, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on all your precepts, again, this is the word, and contemplate your ways, that's the word. I will delight myself in your statutes, again, that's the word. I will not forget your word. Father, we thank you for this passage, Lord. God, I ask for help, Lord. I ask for you to speak to hearts today. Because, Lord, if you don't speak to them, they won't be spoken to. But we just pray. We submit ourselves to you right now. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 9 to 12. He talks about our cleansing. And this is what he says in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. She says, well, I'm not a young person. Well, you're the youngest you're going to ever be. Tomorrow you're going to be older than you are today. So I believe it addresses us as a people of God. And so every stage of life has its challenges. And so we need to guard our minds and we need to guard our emotions. Jerry Bridges writes in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, he says this, David guarded his way with the word of God. The Bible speaks to us primarily through our reason. And this is why it's so vitally important for our minds to be brought constantly under the influence of the word. I would challenge you to take a verse of scripture and memorize it and think about it for the course of a week. That there's no shortcut to holiness. You have to work at it. It's a challenge to really live a holy life. You leave here, you go to school, or you go on your job, and I can guarantee you that's not church. You're going to find everything that's in opposition to church outside of this building. That the world has no desire for God to lead. I mean, it gets worse and worse each month. So here is your challenge. Make the application here. You know, the scripture says, and we could use the Ten Commandments here, I'm looking at myself personally, why I don't steal anymore. Because commandment 8 says, thou shalt not steal. I follow commandment 8. Why I don't take God's name in vain anymore. Incidentally, taking God's vain in name is not just profanity. It's saying I'm a believer and not living it. I don't take God's name in vain anymore because the scripture says don't take his name in vain. We hold him up as holy. His name is to be reverenced. First commandment number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Now that covers a lot of territory. I mean, all the things we do can be a god to us if we put it before the Lord Jesus Christ. God has to be first in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not easy. This is a challenge to live each day. So when we put the word of God in our heart, we're going to realize his ways in our heart. How do I love Jesus? By taking the word of God and reading it and studying it and applying it to my life. You see, your love for God is not like your love for your wife or your love for your children. It's a different kind of love. And you hold him in esteem. We realize his ways are in our heart, and we desire to follow that. We need to be doers of the word of God and not hearers only. James would put it this way in James 1, do not merely listen to the word and to deceive yourself. Do what it says. How many times, even in a church service, that God's word deals with your heart. And you have an intent to follow God, to follow his word. And you leave and you go outside. And I mean, in hardly no period of time at all, you're drifting away. You know, when you receive Christ, you make a commitment. And a commitment says that I'm going to do it. So what does God's word say? He says this, I'm going to read you this. I forgot who I copied it from, but anyway, when you listen, you know, I had a guy one time, I told him something, I said, I quoted you. Oh, he said, that's okay. He said, I probably got it from somebody else and quoted him. So when you hear preachers in the pulpit preaching, we quote everybody else. If they say something good, I'll guarantee you, if they say something good, I'll quote it. And sometimes I'm not ashamed to give them credit. Anyway, I forgot who this was from. But it might have been from a daily devotional. But when you listen or read God's word and you don't apply it to your life, you deceive yourself. You settle for knowledge rather than experience. You know, there's a lot of knowledge in this book. I mean, you can study it like you study history or you study math or something, but just to study it has no meaning at all. The Bible says if you know the good and you don't do it, it's sin. It's sin in your life. So how does that grab you right here? When you know the truth but you don't act on it, you're not just simply making a mistake on poor judgment, you're sinning. So the Bible says knowledge without obedience is sin. And so we need to take the word of God and apply it. And this is what he says in verse 10. With my whole heart, I seek you. That word, that whole heart means with my desire, God, I seek you. How often we come and we say, Lord, show me your way. Lord, help me out through this. And God begins to work and we drift. We drift away. We don't stick with it. For many people, going to church is the only thing there is in their life. You know, you're missing. You got 6 other days in a week. You're missing something really beautiful if each day you don't try to find something in the Word of God that it can minister to you. Take a passage of Scripture and memorize it. You know, memorize it. My wife's in Romans 8. She's trying to memorize the whole chapter of Romans 8. But it would do her no good at all if she just memorized it and she didn't know what it says and made the application. So we take the word of God. We make the application here with my whole heart. Your word is in my heart. It's hidden in my heart for a change in my life. The Living Bible puts that verse this way in verse 11. It says, I have thought much about your word and store them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. You know, so if you're filling your heart with God's word and you're filling your mind with God's word, there's nothing that can come against God that you're going to allow in your heart and allow in your mind. We need to practice here what we learn. With my whole heart, he says, your word is in my heart. And he says in verse 12, look, he says, blessed are you, Lord, teach me your statutes. So God's teaching is to the heart of the individual, not your way. Sometimes it's hard to interpret. It's hard to define some of the passages of scripture because we want to interpret it how we think it ought to be. And a lot of times you're going to find that it's not what God really wants. God wants you to see, God gives us the Holy Spirit to do that. And the Holy Spirit is the interpreter of the Word of God. Listen to these verses right here. In John 14, 26, Jesus is talking. Now in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is teaching on the Holy Spirit. You need to go read those. And he says all the things that the Spirit would do. But in verse 26 of 14, he says, the helper. I like that, the helper. Somebody to encourage you, somebody to help you. The Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name. He comes in Jesus' name. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance that I said unto you. So when we interpret the scripture, we need to interpret it through what God says. And this is what the Holy Spirit, he gives us that to show us and to teach us the word of God. In John 15, 26, he says, he comes from the Father. He's the Spirit of truth. And he said this, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit will testify. So if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. What's his purpose? To testify of Jesus, to help you and to help me lead the Christian life. Jesus says, unless I leave, he won't come to you in John 16. But look what he says in verses 16 and 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So he's the one that reveals to us and teaches us who Jesus is. And he's the one that God gives us to change our life once we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say this with all authority. I have the authority of the Word of God in my life through the Holy Spirit of God. Because he reveals it to me. He shows it to me. And he even takes me in places where I don't want to go to correct me. You see, God's love for you is a correcting love. That's why he gave us the Word. I'm going to be teaching on this tonight a little bit, but we look at the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there's a division in time between one being finished and the other one starting, and it's about 400 years, maybe 430 years. But the Old Testament points to the New Testament. He gave us everything in that Old Testament, beginning from Genesis, when he said that he would send one, you know, to show us that there's a promise of his coming. And in the New Testament, the fulfillment of his coming. So don't discard, just don't separate that Bible, even though there's 400 years between the old and the new. But Jesus came as a fulfillment of the Old Testament of God. So here we look at verses 13 and 14. We saw where our cleansing comes in the earlier verses. These verses talk about our commitment. The psalmist is praising God, his heart is full, and this is his commitment. Look at verses 13 and 14. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. So understand what he's doing here. When you got saved, you were making a commitment to God. You were saying, God, I'm receiving Jesus who died for my sins. But I'm making a commitment now that I'm going to live for you. You know, Paul wrote in Romans 10 that if you believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you know, believing in Christ and committing to Christ is the same word in the Greek as I understand it. When you believe, you committed. We're just not having knowledge in our head about who Jesus really is. That knowledge in our head is transferred to our heart. And now he says, this is the commitment. When you got saved, you were making a commitment by faith to follow Jesus, that you would follow him. So I'll just ask you this question right now. Do you remember your salvation experience? I don't care what day it was. You just need to remember the experience that you were changed. Again, we said that earlier, that you would follow him. And this is what he says. With my lips. That means talk. That means talk. You need to say things that honor Christ. Say things that show Jesus in his life or in your life. As a believer, I will talk about you. I will talk about God. I will talk about the Word of God. And I know we get very skittish sometimes when we're in a crowd of non-believers. We shy away from saying things that we should say. We all do that. I do that. You do that probably sometimes. But with my lips, that means language. That means talk. I will say something about Jesus. Question would be, do you share the gospel? And you might say, well, I don't really know how. Well, there's all kinds of tracks. In fact, I got some in my pocket, tracks. And you can take a track. Here's one, Steps to Peace with God. You can take, you know, do this if you got to. Go to the supermarket, put it under a can of peas and run. Somebody's going to pick it up and read it. You know, you share by mouth, you share by the written word, you share in different ways. I'm going to tell you what I do, and I've been doing this for years. Probably sent out thousands of tracts like this. When I pay a bill, put a tract in the envelope. When I get these self-addressed junk envelopes in the mail, put a tract in it. Don't cost you nothing. Send it back to the sender. I bet you I've sent out thousands upon thousands of them in the last 30 years, however long I've been doing it. And somebody somewhere is going to pick it up and read it. Now, I don't know how many people ever responded. It's not my business. I put the track and I let it go. God will deal with the heart. I've had people tell me they read it. But, you know, and what it is just another way of witnessing. We need to, of course, speak to people about Jesus, that Jesus saves and Jesus can change their life. But there's all kinds of ways you can do it. And he says here, I have rejoiced in your testimony. I delight in your ways in verse 14. So we get a little lazy sometimes in living for Jesus. And we don't really, our heart gets really soft, or sour on sharing Christ. We just simply say, oh, well, they're not going to believe. But that's not what's so important. Important thing to us is that we want to share the gospel. And so if you're different as a believer, this is what I think, you know. Shouldn't people know why you're different? You know, if you're working on a job and you're the Christian there and everybody else is cussing in the morning and telling dirty jokes and all, and when dinner time comes, you don't want to hear all this, you go off to the side and you eat your lunch for the lunch break, shouldn't they know why you're weird? They just think you're weird. But we need to profess Christ. We need to get some strength, maybe is what I could say, in our spirit. To want to share the gospel. You know, God will use you. And you might say, well, I don't know how. Read them a tract. That's all you got to do. This is what the Bible says. He says this, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony. I delight in your ways. I delight in your direction. He's sharing and living right now the word of God. He says, I have rejoiced in your testimonies. I have rejoiced in your word. So I'll ask you this question right now. What in the Bible this week encouraged you, gave you some hope, gave you joy in your heart? David prayed this. Maybe we could start right here. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. that God's word should be priority in us. And I'm not going to get upset when a guy steps on my toe and rubs me wrong. I'm going to pray for him in some kind of way. Or when you're behind somebody at the traffic light, and this is what they're doing, and you're getting upset, pray for them. Pray that they'd move. Maybe that would help a little bit. But we get irritated. We get lazy in our living. And we need to have a heart for lost people, to witness to them in some kind of way. So he's rejoicing over God's word that has taken over his heart. He now treasures God's word. So I'll ask you a question this morning. Is God's word a treasure in your life? Maybe you don't even know where you put your Bible. We need to be in it every day in some kind of way. Now I realize you can't sit down and maybe read every day. But you have to have a heart for God in a sense that you're taking God with you where you go every day. I mean, it's... How many Bibles have you worn out? How you wear them out? By turning the pages. Turning the pages. Being in the Word. And that's my point. Being in the Word is important. Do a daily devotional. You know, we have daily devotionals. And you can do a daily devotional in 10 minutes. It's plenty of time for a daily devotional, for one segment of God's Word to get into your life and to inspire your heart for that day. Most of them are geared to give you hope. So if you had what's valuable to us, maybe is where we could put it that way. Your faith in God has to be the foundation of your value of God working in your life. So we saw the cleansing here. We saw the commitment. Here's the final point. Our thinking, verses 15 and 16. Now understand, he's talking about, again, the word of God. I will meditate on your precept. That's the word. I will contemplate your ways. That's the word. I will delight myself in your statutes. That's the word. Then finally he says at the end of verse 16, I will not forget your word. So if you're taking the word of God and bringing it in your life daily, 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 you will not forget the word of God. It will be a factor in your life. So I challenge you this week, take a verse and think on it. Not just to memorize it, but to think on what he said. So the psalmist right here, his thinking is on God's word. His thinking is on the thoughts of God. The scripture says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm going to leave that right there. What's in your heart? Put God's word in your heart and in your mind. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to find you're going to be changing. So what do you think on? Meditate on the word of God. And you're going to be surprised what God shows you. You know, sometimes we read verses and we've seen it for 10, 15, 20 years. Maybe we read that same verse and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. What God is saying. Isn't that a treat? Isn't that a joy when God opens your heart to what his word says? And so we ought to be experiencing that every day. You'll be surprised what God shows you if you read the word and you think about the word and you say, Lord, what do you want to tell me in that word? What's your message or your lesson for me? Show me something, Lord. Then you're going to find that when you open yourself that way to God's word, God will speak to you. And God will begin to show you things. The greatest thrill or the greatest joy is when God reveals a truth to you that you don't know. You'll be surprised. Look at verse 15. He says, I will meditate. Spurgeon wrote this about this word meditate right here. This is what he says. It is that of happy influence. It makes the mind wise. He's talking about the Word of God. It makes the affections warm. It makes the soul fat and flourishing. It makes your conversation fruitful. God's word in the heart will bring God's word out the mouth. Makes a difference. You'll be surprised. You'll begin to hear God speaking to you. And your walk with God will begin to improve. Your walk with God will begin to improve. It says in verse 16, I will delight. That word delight means, you know, with a good acceptation, to accept God's word as goodness. I will delight in your word and your statutes. You'll find yourself looking for God's direction. Why? Because now his word is in your heart. You know, it makes all the difference in the world. Many true believers, listen to me, and this is true, are hardened by years of hearing God's word and not applying it. So let me encourage you this morning to read the word, to try to let the Holy Spirit apply it to your life, and to make the adjustments if God's asking you to make an adjustment in your attitude. You know, until your attitude changes, nothing else will change. So ask God to change my attitude. When my attitude changes, I can change the other thing. The psalmist said in Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And this is what he says right here. I will meditate on your precepts, your word. God wants everyone to saturate his mind with the word of God. Jesus is the word. The written word is expressed through Jesus Christ. But you need to make a decision that you're going to do that. So I'll ask you a couple of questions in closing here. Is it your habit to seriously read and study God's word on a daily basis? Now, I'm not asking you or telling you to read three chapters. Pick it up and read two verses and think on it. You know, you're better off reading two verses and thinking on it or just running through the scripture, because God will speak to you that way. To seriously read the word of God. You cannot love God and yet not love his word. And a very real sense to neglect God's word is to neglect God, because that's his roadmap for you. God will change you in a mighty way if you put the word of God in your heart. He will do that. That's your challenge here. Where do you find yourself this morning in this message? I don't know, maybe you never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, the preacher gets up here probably every week and tells you you need to have Jesus in your life. Well, that's what I'm going to tell you. You need to have Jesus in you. You need to be saved. This is not some act that you do. This is an act that God has done when he sent Jesus to die for you at Calvary. You receive what God has already done. And when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God reconciles you back to himself. Now, God is not reconciled to the believer. The believer is reconciled or brought back to God. God is appeased. And that simply means this. God is satisfied when you come and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I'm receiving you into my life. You are brought to God. God is satisfied because Jesus paid the price for your sin. So the wages of sin is death, Paul said, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So if you've never been saved, you can say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm away from you. I'm a sinner. Would you come into my heart and save me? Be my Lord and Savior. I'm giving you me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And maybe you're born again. Maybe you've had an experience of receiving Christ, and you know, you hadn't been really in the Word the way you ought to be. Hey, the Scripture says in 1 John 1:9, this is to the church, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us and to forgive us. And if you really are serving God, you know, you can have more of God than you have right now. You can have much more. It's a challenge here. I'm going to read you some verses very quickly in closing here. And out of this Psalm 119, he says, "Open my eyes that I might see the wondrous things from your law." Verse 37, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things." In verse 48, he says, "My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes," your word. Verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." He's saying the word of God pacifies me right here. Verse 93, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." The word of God has brought life. In the beginning was the word, and it was Jesus. And verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It's the meditation all my day." And one final one, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Isn't that wonderful? And all of these express what the word can do in your life and what the word can do in my life. So we're going to have an invitation here. I'm going to close this in prayer. And I don't know what your decision is. Maybe you want to just recommit your life. Maybe you need to have Jesus in your life. Whatever it is, don't go away without making that commitment. And, you know, we never have the guarantee of tomorrow. We only have the guarantee of today. And so it's important here, if God has spoken to you, whatever it is, you might want to just recommit yourself where you are. Say, "Lord, I know I'm a believer, but maybe I'm not giving all the attention to your word I need to give. I'm going to change that, Lord, and I'm going to ask you to help me. Give me a revealing of the scripture that I read." Father, we thank you and we just give you the praise, Lord. God, we ask your blessing right now. I pray, Lord, that in the closing moments of this service that you would speak to hearts, Lord. If there's someone that needs to accept Christ, they would accept you right now. They would open up their heart and say, "Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and I receive that. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and to save me." And if you're a believer this morning and maybe you need some correction in your life, whatever it is, Lord, help me, Lord, right now. I know this is not right. This is not the way it ought to be. But I'm going to confess it, Lord. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, to change my attitude, to change my heart, to change my ways, Lord. And Father, I just want to give you praise. I just want to praise you right now and thank you for Jesus, for who he is, for what he did, and what he's going to do for us. The future, Lord, that one day we'll be in glory with you. And we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.